And God's people said, amen. How great is the Lord. Amen. Just the time of worship, such appreciation and such blessing to come before the living and the true God and to be able to sing our praises, our adoration, our thanksgiving to him this morning. And it's such a blessing to come together and to know that the Spirit of God is with us and amongst us, living within you. And we have the Holy Word of God as well. And I can say with confidence, because after our first service, God truly wants to encourage you today, no matter what's going on, no matter what your world's been like, we need the hope of God, the hope of heaven. We need the assurance of what takes place after this life. And we need to experience just the kindness of God and the love of God. We're going to look in the book of Ruth this morning and go through that. The book of Ruth, the title of the message is The Blessing. And at the end of the teaching time, our last song is going to be The Blessing. And I pray for the blessing upon every woman and upon every man, every boy and girl, just the blessing of God for us this morning. Amen. So as you're standing, we'd ask you to open up your Bibles. By the way, you have Bibles here up front, in back, all around. A Bible is for you. It's a gift for you. Take it. Keep it. If you know someone that maybe could use or be blessed by a Bible, take one as a gift. Pray that they'd read it. This morning, we're in the book of Ruth. It's the eighth book in the Bible. The book of Ruth in chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem of Judah went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were from Bethlehem of Judah, and they went to the country of Moab and remained there." Verse 3, "Then when Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons, and now they took wives from the women of Moab, and the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there for about 10 years. Verse 5, "Then both Mahlon and Chilion died, so the women survived, her two sons and her husbands." What? Pastor, you just said hope and encouragement. It's Mother's Day. Verse 5, we've had 3 funerals and 3 widows. Listen, it's just the beginning. God is in charge. He's in control. Great things. So God bless this Bible study in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I spoke about Ruth being the eighth book of the Bible, the first book is Genesis. It's about beginnings. Exodus is about redemption. Leviticus is about worship. The book of Numbers is about your walk. Deuteronomy is your obedience. Joshua is victory over the enemy. Judges is disobedience. But Ruth is God calling out a Gentile bride, and in 1 Samuel is the establishment of God's kingdom. There's an incredible order. You know, when you're saved, there's a new beginning. Why? Because you've been redeemed. And when you're redeemed, what do you want to do? You want to worship God. What else? I want to walk with God. What else? I want to obey God. What else? I want God to give me victory over the enemy. What else? I don't want to disobey. I want to walk in the ways that God has. Why? Because he's called us out as a church, a Gentile bride. What's next? 1 Samuel, the establishment of God's kingdom. Isn't God's word marvelous as you just put things together? Well, we're in chapter 1 of Ruth this morning, and there's some things that need to be pointed out right away. When we speak about Bethlehem, Bethlehem means house of bread, and Judah means place of praise. May I say today that this place is Bethlehem Chapel. We believe in the Word of God. The Word of God is the bread of life. Jesus said he is the bread of life. And so this is a place of bread. And as you just experienced, it's Judah, a place of praise. The best place to be is in the house of bread with the people of praise, thanking God and worshiping God. The worst thing that any of us can do is to be out of fellowship with God, to be away from the house of bread and the place of praise. But what about Elimelech? What does his name mean? His name means my God is king. My God is king is in the house of bread and the place of praise. And his wife, Naomi, her name means pleasant. They had two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. Unfortunately, the boys' names mean sickly and piney. They lived up to their names. They didn't live too long. But what happened was that there was a famine in the land. So in the house of bread, there was a famine. My friends, we have been going through famines in different ways, you know, as a nation and as people. But what I have known through this last year and a half is that there is a renewed hunger for God's word. What we've been in a famine is we've been away from God's word. We've been away from the people of God in the place of praise. We haven't been honoring God. There's a famine in the land. Elimelech made a terrible decision. God never said, go to Moab. Moab, according to the scriptures, is called God's washpot. It's not a good place to go. It's a place where there's been a lot of destruction and disobedience, a lot of paganism. It's not a place that God directed. Men and women, when you're going to make a decision, there's more to consider than just taking off and going somewhere. We all face trials. When we face a trial, we have to think things through. When we face a trial, what are we going to do? Escape the trial? Or, in a sense, endure the trial? Or embrace the trial? I say embrace it. A great example, again, using the current day and time when we're in. When COVID and all the things that accompany that came around, there's choices. What are you going to do? You're going to flee? You're not going to meet? You're not going to be around? What are you going to do? No, we're going to embrace what God has allowed. We realize that God wants to do something in my life, our church. God wants to do something in his church. So you embrace the trial saying, God, I'm submitting myself to you. I'm not coming up with my own plan, my own way or whatever. I'm submitting to you. God, you need to work in my life, our fellowship. You need to work in your church. We believe it because you're in charge. You're God. As Elimelech said, my God is king, and our God is king here. It's King Jesus, and we worship him, and we serve him. And so that's what we want to do. But Dad led the family to a pagan land amongst pagan people without any testimony at all. He dies there, as we saw, and then the sons are left, and the sons marry pagan women. Men and women of faith, you marry a person of faith. You marry somebody that is walking with the Lord exactly like you're walking with the Lord. We have a race to run. And in that race we run together, we run side by side. So if you're sold out to the Lord and to his word, don't fall in love with somebody that is somewhere way different than you. You can have friendships, you can encourage them, and you should be a blessing to them, and you should help them and teach them about the Lord or see them come to Christ. But men and women of faith, we marry men and women of faith. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. And that's from God's word. And he knows because he wants to take care of us. And these people married pagan women. They were known for that. Now, God is going to work in the midst of our disobedience and rebellion. When there's repentance, God can work. Chapter 1, verse 6. And then there arose with her daughter-in-law, and that she might return from the country of Moab, for she heard that in the country of Moab, that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. So she's in Moab. Naomi's in Moab. Her sons died. Her husband died. Daughter-in-laws are there. What to do? She wants to go back because someone told her. She has heard that Bethlehem's living up to its name. It's a house of bread. Go back there. They should have never left in the first place. Listen, God will always provide for his people. God always provides for his people. No believer can say, God just doesn't provide for me. God provides for us. He always provides for us. That's who he is. The scriptures make it very clear as far as his provision for us. It tells us in Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. You serve God, God will provide. You yield to God, you love God, God will provide. We serve God, he's called the provider. It may not be the way that we may have been anticipating or like, but he will provide. He provides for everything that we need. Not necessarily the wants, but what we need. He's there for us. Amen? So thankful for that. So she hears about that, and she wants to go back. She wants to just leave her daughter-in-laws and just say, go back and live in the pagan life. See, that's how dark that Naomi is. Instead of evangelizing them and saying, we're coming back because there's two saved people. We were in rebellion, but they're followers of God. She doesn't want to be embarrassed by bringing back the pagan women. She just wants to come back. And when she comes back into the Bethlehem and people know her, there isn't this sense of a stigma that we've been in rebellion for all these years. Therefore, in verse 7, she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on their way to Judah. Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go, return each of you to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant that you might find rest each in the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices. They wept, and they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi says, no, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, go, daughters, for even as I'm too old, and even if I did have a husband, even tonight I had a husband and should also bear sons, would you wait for them until they were grown? In other words, she's saying, daughters, look, I can't provide for you. And so if you thought me getting married and then having children, two more sons so you can get married, I mean, it's not possible, but just say it was. Say that I did get married tonight and got pregnant tonight and I'm going to have children. It takes a lot of years for those boys to be raised and to marry them. You don't have time to wait. Just be released and go back. That's her counsel, verse saying, turn your heart and follow God. It's unfortunate. And so they're not going to return to their house right away. It says again in verse 12, turn back and go. And she said what she said. In verse 14, they lifted up their voices and they wept. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods, small g. Return after your sister-in-law. Now, these next two verses are verses that you see many times in a marriage, many times in a card. It has to do with commitment. It has to do with devotion. And we need to take it to heart. So something happened in Ruth's heart. Ruth now was a follower of God. She would not be able to communicate this if she was not truly a follower of God. And she is. So she says in verse 16, entreat me, or I beg you. She says, entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts you from me. Wow. Is that a commitment? It's a wonderful commitment. It's a commitment that's felt from her own heart. I am with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to be like Velcro to you. You can't get rid of me. Life is going to be hard, and we're coming back as two widows, and we're coming back from a pagan land, and we're coming. You know what? Elimelech, when he left, my God is king when he left, he said, we'll just take a short journey to Moab. We just got to get some provisions in Moab. They stayed there 10 years. My friends, when you pursue darkness, when you go into darkness, when you say, I'm going to give my heart over to the world, and you think, hey, just for a little bit, just a little dab here, a little dab there, it will grip you, it will hold you, it will keep you. And we want to be set free from the stronghold of darkness, of the enemy, the strongholds of sin that so many times just grip us. God wants to set us free, and he can set us free now, today, this morning. So the commitment that she makes, the commitment that Ruth makes. The name Ruth means beauty. She's going to go back with her. Verse 18, when they saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. And two of them went until they came to Bethlehem, again, the house of bread. It happened when they came to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. For I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came into Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Wow, a lot that's right there. So when we follow darkness, when we give ourselves over to the world, when we're no longer in a place of praise, a house of bread, when we leave that, our perspective is going to change. Our perspective about our lives, our perspective about others, our perspective about God, it's going to get all whacked out. So she said, you know what, change my name. Change it to Mara. Mara means bitter. She says, call me the bitter woman. She was not the bitter woman. Remember when she left, she was pleasant. Pleasant came back bitter. Why? Why? Because her heart for God was gone. That's why. And she said that God's the one to blame regarding this. God is never the one to blame. Do not blame God. It's not about God. God loves you. God's for you. He's the Almighty God. He's the provider. When we start blaming others, when we point at others, we're blaming others. I'm pointing one finger at someone else. It's your fault. Notice, three fingers are pointing back to me and my thumb is pointing up to God. It's rebellion in my heart. Quit blaming others. Say, God, for whatever reason, the situation you've allowed, I need you now more than ever before. You don't have the capacity to change anybody's life, and God hasn't asked you to change anybody's life. He's asked you to pray for people. He's asked you to love people. He said, even love those that don't like you. Love those that despise you. So she comes back as a bitter woman. It's interesting. We spell bitter, B-I-T-T-E-R. But the word better is B-E-T-T-E-R. There's one letter difference between being better and bitter, and it's a letter I. It's all about us. Anytime I'm selfish and consumed with me, my heart is going to turn to become a bitter person. We don't want that. So they come into Bethlehem, and it's interesting because they started off by saying there's a famine in the land, but there's a great harvest taking place, and it's the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and this is going to last for a couple of periods of time. In other words, like back-to-back seasons. So for several months, there are provisions that are going to be provided by God. But at the end of those harvest times, how are they going to be provided for? The economy at this time had something that we should learn from. It, in a sense, is like a welfare system. So in the fields, and we have many, we're an agricultural community, we have many fields. So when they're harvesting the fields, they leave the corners and other areas so that people that have need can get up and get out and begin to pick up what they need for themselves and take it home and be blessed. We're right now living at, I don't know, between, it's hard to say, if we're $29 trillion in debt, or I forget what the number is. I mean, it rises incredibly every week. And the government says, I'm going to make all the provisions for you, and I'm going to give you money, even if you don't work, don't want to work, or whatever else. Stop it. That's enough. People are made to work. We're made to work. We're made to be industrious. And it's better to find ways that people, there's important provisions that are needed regarding health situations and regarding a bridge between job after job. But we're being driven away that was going to be very regretful, and it's going to follow biblical prophecy as we move forward. And so there's provisions in verse chapter 2. The relative of Naomi was a man of great wealth from the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Boaz doesn't know Ruth, doesn't know Ruth at all. Ruth does not know Boaz at all. And there's a provision in the scriptures. So the privilege, the gleaning privilege in the scripture that I'm speaking about, that's already been provided by God. God has already said in his word, this is how you provide for people. People want the opportunity to work and to provide. They want that. The second is, when a family member dies, if there was no son to hold up the family's name and keep the heritage of the family, another family member, the next brother in line, would be the one that would have that opportunity to marry the widow in order to have children to carry on the family's name. That's in Deuteronomy 25. So we're getting into this part right now. All we know is that Ruth is in Bethlehem, Naomi's a mess, and Ruth is just in love with God, and she wants to know what next. So in verse 2, Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please, let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whom sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she's just saying, harvesting is taking place. I'm going to find a field. So, you know, like around Whatcom County, I'm just going to find a field. The provisions are there. No one's going to like say, hey, what are you doing here on my property? They intentionally allow provisions to be there. So find a field and be able to find the provisions for yourself. So she's just saying that, you know, maybe I'll find some favor. In verse 3, then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And look in verse 3, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. She doesn't know Boaz. She doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know who she is. She's just out there. There are no coincidences. You seek God. You ask God what way to go. You pray together. You seek the leading of God. And then you'll watch. And it's just like, wow, you know them? You know her? I didn't know that. And you begin to see these connections. And it's just randomly and incredibly wonderful. And it's just God. He does that for us. And so, verse 4, and now Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you, and answered him, the Lord bless you. You own a business? Start saying, the Lord bless you. Start saying to your employees, God bless you. God, I don't care if they're believers or not. If you're a believer, you want God's blessing on your life and on your business. And I can assure you, I'll say with complete confidence, those who are believers in the workplace, who love God, and you're just working wholeheartedly, God blesses that work. God blesses that business. Those employees leave that business takes a hit. That business suffers when you got good working employees. And if you're an employee, do not take advantage of your employer. Work diligently. Work wholeheartedly. Well, he's a Christian brother. Yeah, all the more reason. Show up earlier, stay late, and work hard. Be a testimony. Amen? Be a testimony. Sometimes that testimony speaks louder than just reciting the four spiritual laws. That, you know what, this person is real. The Lord bless you. Dads, you wake up in the morning, see your wife and your kids, God bless you. Hey, what do you got to eat? No, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, it'll make a difference. Ask God's blessing. We're ending today's service with the blessing. And Boaz said in verse 5 to his servants, who's in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Ruth's name? Beauty. And he's not being funny or crude or anything else. He's just saying, this is a new person. And I could tell. She's new. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, this is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. And so she came and has continued from morning until now. She's just a hard-working woman. And she's taking a little bit of rest. And then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter. So the age of Boaz is definitely older than Ruth. He's calling her my daughter. There's a youthfulness and age with Ruth compared to Boaz, who's never been married. Probably the most eligible bachelor in Bethlehem. Do not glean in another field nor from here, but stay close by my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field which reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? No touchy. And when you are thirsty, you go to the vessels and drink from them what the young men have drawn. And she fell on her face. She bowed down. A sense of humility. Why? Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me? I'm a foreigner. So the word was out already. The word was out regarding Ruth. Ruth came back with Naomi. People knew that. People saw she's quite a woman. I mean, she's just right there helping Naomi. What a tough time Naomi's going through. And Ruth is right there. And Boaz saying, you know what? I want to take care of you. Don't go to any other field. There's all kinds of, don't go. Stay here. Stay with the women. Remember, it's a corrupt time because in the book of Judges, before Ruth, the very last sentence says, in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It's almost prophetically for today. People just doing what's right in their own eyes. My friends, there are moral absolutes. There are biblical absolutes. There is the truth of God's word. And we don't do what's right in our eyes. We do what's right before the eyes of the Lord. and according to his word. So she found favor, and in verse 12 it says, "And the Lord repay your work with a full reward, be given to you by the Lord of Israel, under whose wings you have come for a refuge." And she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." My friends, this is a story of redemption. We're talking about Ruth and Boaz. We're talking about a woman that lived in a pagan country. We're talking about a man called by God to become her kinsman redeemer. That's what's going to happen. He's going to end up marrying Ruth. But you know something? The Lord saw you. And the Lord said, "I want you." And the Lord said, "You're going to be my bride." And Jesus is going to be our kinsman redeemer. He's going to be, in a sense, our Boaz. That's the story. That's the heart behind this. It's a message of redemption, but it's playing itself out. You never knew what God was going to do in your life. You think of your age right now, and you think of the years that have gone by, and you think, as you have yielded to the Lord over these years, think of the person that God is making you to be right now. And we've only just begun. We don't know how much time we have left, but God is at work, and he's putting pieces together every day in our life. And I've said with frequency, if we're a follower of Jesus Christ, we should have to update our resume on a weekly basis, because there's new things that God has done in our life. There's new answers to prayers. There's a new sense of, that resume's old. This is new. Let me give you some fresh things that God is doing. I'm trusting God. God is blessing. God is helping. As we continue on here in this, she, in verse 17, 18, and 19, she goes back to her mother-in-law. Well, Boaz loaded her up with about 27 pounds of barley. She comes back, and she says in verse 19, her mother says, "Where have you gleaned? You're like, what field have you been in?" And she goes, "Look at all that's before you. And I was in this field," in verse 19, "the man's name whom I work today, his name is Boaz." And in verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter, "Blessed be the Lord who's not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relationship of ours. He's one of our close relatives." Matchmaker, matchmaker. She's putting it together. Ruth doesn't even know. Ruth just said, "I was in this field. The guy was so nice to me, very kind to me. He just said, come back. He's protecting me. He says, be with the women. Don't let the other men get around. He's told the men, don't you even think about it." He's told them. I mean, he's leading them. "Hey, God bless you, but don't you think about it." And so she just comes back, and she has all of this. And by the way, she actually got to receive food from them as well when she was eating there. And it says in verse 14 of chapter 2, it says, "And so she," halfway through, "so she sat beside the reapers, and he passed the parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back." Now, a lot of times we're all looking for the newest diet. Do the Ruth diet. Just eat until you're satisfied. Eat no more. And then take the rest back. And that's what she did. She said, "I'm going to take the rest to my mother-in-law," which is what she did. But back in our text here in verse 21, Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all the harvest." And Naomi was great. "It is good, my daughter, that you go out from his young women, and the people do not meet you in any other field." So she's just saying, she's affirming, this is great. This is from God. We didn't know what we were going to do. We were hungry. We came back to the house of bread. "Thank you so much, daughter. You just went out there. I am down. I am moping. I'm complaining. I am a bitter woman," but you're not. You're the better woman, and you're the newer woman, and you're just stepping out in faith. Thank you, and God has blessed, and he brought you to Boaz. I mean, you don't understand. He's our kinsman. He's next in line. He's the one it could possibly be. Now, Ruth isn't thinking that way, but in chapter 3, as it goes through it, she goes back, and there's the seasons right now of provision. And so Boaz is working, and they're harvesting. And when they're harvesting, they're going to stay where they're at. So in the harvesting place where they're doing all the work, they're working long hours, he's going to stay there. He's going to sleep there. He's going to be there overnight. He's going to watch the place. He doesn't want to be ripped off or anything else. So he's going to sleep right there at night. Now, Naomi's got a little plan for Ruth. And she knows that Boaz is going to be on the threshing floor, chapter 3, verse 2, verse 3. So Ruth says to Naomi, okay, here's the plan. You wash yourself, anoint yourself, and put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. She's smart. I mean, I can't tell you the times where I'm just grumpy until I eat. And when I eat, it's all good. So she's smart. So Naomi's just saying, look, I'm coaching you. Look nice. Put some Chanel 5 on or whatever, you know. And look nice. Now, this is not anything to do with seduction. This is nothing to do with immorality. This is not anything ungodly. This is absolutely pure. Absolutely pure. What she's doing is absolutely pure. It's following the right course of action. She's going to go down. It seems strange, but at night, after he eats, Boaz is going to crash out by the wheat. You know, he's there. He's protecting it. When he does that, she's going to move the covers off of his feet. She's not getting in bed or anything. She's going to be down by his feet, and that is going to be a signal that they need to have a conversation. In verse 8, now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? Again, there's not electricity. There's no lights or anything else. I mean, he's dead out. He's been working hard. And at middle of the night, obviously, you know, if the covers are off your feet, it's just like, you're cold. And so, who are you? I mean, he doesn't know. I'm a woman. I am more than that. I'm Ruth. I'm your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. So she's basically making the proposal. She's putting the move on. It's a request. Again, it's all godly. It's all godly. But you just have to laugh at the thinking. I mean, we're going to see Ruth. We're going to see Boaz. We're going to talk about these things. Then the Lord, in verse 10, then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after the young men. So he was scouting it out. He saw how beautiful she was, and he knew that there were plenty of takers if to be. If her heart wanted to move in one direction, she'd be snatched up right away. She didn't do that. She stayed the course. She kept the commitment. She had character. She'll be called a virtuous woman in a moment here, but a woman of character. And so he compliments her. Verse 11, now my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman, a woman of character. Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there's a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that he will perform a duty of a close relative for you. Good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty, then I will perform the duty. Lie down till morning. So again, it's at midnight. It's at nighttime. It's a practical thing. They are not in any sexual, romantic relationship or anything like that. He's just saying, it's midnight. I know the caliber of people out on the street. You're not traveling home at midnight. You'll travel home indiscreetly in the morning. You bring stuff with you like that. And I'm going to go to town amongst the elders and talk to that next kin. He says, I really am a kinsman redeemer, but I can't. There's somebody ahead of me. There's another relative ahead of me. So I can't just jump in. So I've got to talk to him. And if he wants you, then that's how it's going to work out. It's in God's hands. But if not, I want you. That's what he's saying. So in verse 18 of chapter 3, it says, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter of this day. Can you imagine how uptight she might have been? Ruth thinking, talking to her mother-in-law, here's the deal. You know, she says, uptight. Wise woman. I believe that God's working in that bitter-hearted woman, and she's getting softer. Just sit still, my daughter. Just wait. Easy for you to say. Anyways, chapter 4. Boaz went up to the gate and he sat down, and behold, there was the close relative. And so Boaz came to him and says, come aside, my friend, sit down here. So he sat down beside him. So they're going to have a little conversation regarding Ruth in the future. And he took the 10 men of the elders of the city. So it's going to verify everything. This is procedure. Sit down here. They sat down. Verse 3, and he said to the close relative Naomi, who's come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants of the elders. If you redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And the man said, I'll redeem it. And Boaz punched him in the face, knocked him out. No, but you just couldn't imagine. It's just like, that's the wrong answer. Let me ask you again. Your answer is to be no. He goes, no, sounds like a good deal. I mean, you're talking about land and property, and I can inherit it. Done deal. I'm on board for that. And then Boaz, let me make it clear. The close relative said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin. Oh, and then, before that. And then Boaz said, on the day that you buy, verse 5, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. Close relative says, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for you yourself. I can't redeem it. In other words, he added it all up. Are you kidding me? I'm coming home with another woman, and then I have to fulfill the duty and my wife and the inheritance. No deal. I just thought it was a land deal. It's no deal. And it's an interesting thing that they do to confirm the deal. Verse 7, now it was the custom in the former times in Israel concerning redeeming the exchanging to confirm anything. One man took off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was a confirmation in Israel. I just think it's funny. It says, therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal. Can you imagine going to the bank? We good? Yeah. So that all worked out wonderfully, and they worked with the elders. And in verse 13, so Boaz then took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. If you turn over to the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1 at this time, Matthew chapter 1, many times people, they say, I don't believe the Bible. You wouldn't believe the Bible. Do you believe it's real? Do you believe it's literal? Do you believe it? Yes, we believe the Bible. Well, I don't think, you know, that everything in the Bible is really real or factual. Oh, that's really interesting. So since you're very knowledgeable about the Bible and have extensively researched it and studied it, and since there's so many contradictions in the Bible, thank you for the opportunity to maybe help you out. So of the millions and hundreds of thousands of contradictions and errors in the Bible, which one bothers you the most? None, because you really are just smokescreen. That's what it is. So Matthew chapter 1, notice it's called a genealogy. How did Jesus get here? What's the line? So again, if someone claims to be Jesus, go to Matthew chapter 1 and say, point out to me your heritage. Where's your? I don't think that name fits in there. Van Blumbergood. No, that's not in there. So look down here, verse 5. Solomon begat Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot King David. So Jesus comes from the line of King David. And God takes this Moabitess, this woman, in a pagan culture, in a pagan time, and she marries, and her husband dies, and she's released to go back to the pagan culture. She says, no, I'm going straight ahead for what God has for us. She goes straight ahead with Naomi. All she wanted to do is to love God, and she says, I'm committed to this. This is what my mission is. My mission is this, my mother-in-law. I'm going to take care of her. It doesn't matter, Mom. Whatever happens to you, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to stay with you, be with you to the very end. I'm going to help you finish your race. And we need provisions. I'm going out into the field to find those provisions. And then all of a sudden, so by happenstance, which you know, it's just God's directing, there's Boaz. And I didn't even realize until I came home. And my mother-in-law said, Boaz is the connection between our future. So go let him know of your desire to be with him, which she did in a very godly, biblical way. And Boaz goes about taking the correct course, no shortcuts, and he proposes to the next of kin who says, nope, it's yours. And so Boaz marries Ruth. And it tells us in verse 14 of chapter 4 that the woman said to Naomi, blessed, the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel, and may he be to you a restorer of life and a nurturer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. And there was a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. And Obed means worshiper. In conclusion here today, as we're looking at the book of Ruth, such a strategically placed book about redemption, about how much God cares, about how much he's involved in your life right now. No matter where you're at, what you're going, what's going on, what you're struggling through, he's with you. He's for you. He's not against you. He is with you, and he wants to bless you, and he wants to lead you, and he wants to help you out, and he's going to use other people in that process, and he will amaze you every day. As you walk in faith, he will amaze you of the people and situations he has set up for your blessing. You'll walk into it and say, I never knew that. And you'll learn things and you'll just say, God is good. Bless the Lord. Oh, bless you. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He had to shed his blood for our sins and for our adoption. He loved us that much. He came. He paid the price, the full price, for our salvation. He knows who you are. He knows what you will be. And he takes you and I just as we are. He bought us out of the slave market of this world, and he set us free. Amen. Let's stand. The worship team is going to lead us in a song, and it's called The Blessing, as we stated earlier. And it truly is a blessing to be able to call out to the Lord at this time. You know, Jesus spoke about the harvest. He says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. This is a harvest account as well. So we want to be mindful. God, how do you want to use me at this time, in these last days, to represent you best to my family, to my children, in the workplace, to the community? How can I be used by you as somebody doing the work for the kingdom of God? Amen.